there's a big radio station in Ecuador called HCJB. I mean, if you were a missionary, you grew up listening to shortwave radio, you listened to HCJB in South America. Anyhow, they broadcast all over the world with their shortwave in all kinds of languages, in Chinese and everything. Tremendous ministry. The director of one of their large ministries in video, they also produce video and translate things into Spanish, came to me. He found out I was an Adventist. For 2 years, he didn't know what I was. I wouldn't tell him, because I knew they had prejudice against Adventists. So I became his very good friend. We prayed together. We shared together. We did everything together. And 2 years later, he found out I was an Adventist. And he didn't quite fall over, because he suspected, but he couldn't get it out of me. He just knew I was a Christian. He knew I was a solid Christian, and he knew that. But how can he be an Adventist? But on the other hand, he sure sounds like he's an Adventist. And then I told him, I am. Boy, he's in shock on his face, but at the same time, he knew. He said, I knew it. He said, why do your people always hide themselves together? Why don't they mix? They have a beautiful message, and they just stick to themselves. And I said, because we're spiritual Israel, and we don't need to mix with the Gentiles. I said it sarcastically, of course. I said, we have something that is beautiful that God gave us. In fact, we believe it's the most beautiful message ever given to man. And just like Israel of old, we like to close ourselves off in Jerusalem, and we keep it to ourselves. And he said, you know, it's rare that people like you come out and mix with us. And I said, we'll learn. Please forgive us. Be patient with us. But you know what? They're beginning to catch on to the message, and they didn't get it from us. God himself is teaching them the Seventh-day Adventist message, and I'm hearing the Adventist message from non-Adventist preachers everywhere I go. He can't wait any longer. Do you think he has 100 years left? Every year, 100 million new people are entering the world. Not entering the world. The population is growing by 100 million. Do you know how many we reach every year as a church? Around 1 million. Well, let's say we reach 2 million and let's say we reach 10 million and only baptize 1 million. But you know what? Doesn't even reach the newcomers. We shouldn't even use the word finishing the work. I think it's blasphemy. Unless we're reaching more than 100 million a year, it's a concept totally inappropriate to use. It should never be used out of context. Finishing the work can only be used if you're reaching more than 100 million people a year. Because then you are finishing. Anything less than that is like taking water out of the Titanic with a teaspoon. Hooray for you. Give you a prize. You took 100 teaspoons of water out of Titanic. Who cares? Do you understand what I'm saying? The work is so big, the time is so short, we've got to begin to think out of the box. And so therefore, my wife and I made a decision. Let's think out of the box. Let's do something crazy. Let's just trust God, and let's see what happens. If we die, if we perish, we perish. Well, that's biblical too, isn't it? Have you ever heard somebody say that? Yeah, all the time. Esther did it. Kings did it. Ezra did it. Others did it. Walk in front of the king, present this thing. Jesus did it. Hung on the cross. The devil said, you'll never see your father again. You might save your bride, but you'll never see her again, and you'll never live with your bride. And Jesus said, you may be right. I may never. But if I perish, I perish. And he gave his soul to his father and said, I trust you anyhow. And therefore, God calls us today to take that kind of risk. He calls us to say, everything I have is yours. Just put it on the altar. And now you tell me how to manage yours. Because if he owns all the money, if the constant is money and the variables are people and opportunity, we have a lot of opportunities today like never before. And whatever we don't accomplish today, we're going to accomplish with our own blood in a few months. As times get hard, as liberties are taken away, we already lost all our liberties in this country already. It's just a matter of enforcing the loss of liberty. It's already lost. You can be put away. You can be kept. Nobody needs to know where you are. You can be years without anybody knowing what happened to you. That's not against the law anymore. All I have to use is a magic term called terrorism. We suspect you of terrorism. Boom! That's it. All rights are taken away. So therefore, what do we have to lose? We've already lost. Nothing to defend. We've already lost it all. The only thing we have left is a bubble of time, a little piece of time where God's people can move, and where your money and your time and your influence can produce a hundredfold of what it will be tomorrow. That's all. That's all you got left. And that experience will be valuable, invaluable. Because as you experience God and what He can do with you, when the time comes, when all earthly support is cut off and all human rights are evidently placed into, removed from you, you will treasure those moments that you threw everything on the altar and God came through for you.